This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Well, good morning to you. Shout out Cameron and John Ritchie. We got Devin here today. Seltzer with us. No John, no Rhea. They'll both be back next week. Both getting a little, I guess, three-day weekend. Wonderful to be with you from Borgata, our home base, every single Friday. It's also going to be wonderful to talk to Rick Tocchet coming up in a few minutes. He'll join us at 8:30. Tocchet, of course, hired by the Flyers about 2 weeks ago. So we'll find out his mindset as he takes over a team that obviously, you know, he was once a prospect for and a damn good player for. Two different times. Tocchet, a player in the 80s, I believe in the very early 90s, and then back with the Flyers in the Lindros-LeClaire era for a couple years. Part of that team in 2000 when they made that push to Game 7 in the Eastern Conference. Look, Tocchet's a legendary Flyer, and just a classic power forward in hockey who could do a little bit of everything. You know, he could hit, he could skate, he could score, he could pass, he could punch.
Hopefully he can coach.
Yeah, so we look for exactly. Hopefully here he does a great job. Looking forward to it. All right, so Tocchet in about 10 minutes. By the way, one random thing from sports that stood out to me yesterday, and I've thought about this before, but I don't know if I've ever noticed it as much as I did last night with that Knicks-Pacers game. So just a really weird sports thing. I don't know if you guys have ever thought about this. So watching the game last night, and Knicks won, if you don't know, Knicks won. They won handily. They were in control the whole game. Game 6 this weekend in Indiana. But what am I getting at? I'm getting at the very odd reality, and it's the only sport that it exists with, of the main four, where there's a coach, and it's almost always, I think at this point, an assistant coach, that sits right next to a fan. Now, what am I getting at? There was a kid last night, Knicks fan, probably 6 years old. Elliot, he's sitting next to a Pacers coach.
Yeah.
The whole game, this, like, six-year-old is doing his thing, and he's next to, like, a 60-year-old man who's trying to coach the game. Now, he wasn't the head coach. No head coach is going to sit next to the, you know, the fan.
Right.
And now, maybe there's exceptions if it's the kid is the family of the owner. Like, Josh Harris and his family will sit right next to the Sixers bench. That's not this. This was, like, Nick fan guy.
Well, it happens.
That brought his family. And the six-year-old is sitting next to the 60. It's so weird.
And
do they talk?
Like, no,
at one, is there at
talk.
One point, like, hi, you're next to me. Hi.
How's it going? You know, like, I mean, it happens with players, too. Like, you see, like, LeBron will, you know.
At the end of the bench. Yeah.
And it's interesting to that
Very
point.
Odd, man.
Well, in hockey, they're close, but in hockey, there's the glass.
There's glass.
You know, so there's a difference. But, yeah, I mean, even the players in general, like, we don't think about it, but if you're inactive in the NBA and you're in the second row,
yeah.
You're like, you know.
Totally.
You can really, really hear
yeah.
in what these guys are saying.
Look, at the end of the bench is also a weird dynamic, and a lot of times those are guys that aren't playing or have come out of the game for good. You
yeah.
know, sometimes. No, sometimes guys will go sit down there and lounge out, maybe even stretch their bodies because they don't want to sit in the chair and they want to, you know, Larry Bird used to lie down there.
I mean, Embiid would do that stuff.
Embiid yeah. does do that.
They ride
you're
the
right.
bike sometimes.
Yeah. But, I mean, this kid's, like, getting up and down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's got to annoy the 60-year-old assistant. It's got to annoy him.
You ever think, like, I wonder if another team could purchase that seat and send somebody to almost, like, spy?
Also,
I do.
Just
I feel
with
like
this.
There
wow.
has
you know what I mean?
To be like, sort of, like, regulation on it or, like,
they
got to
have
know.
Something.
Well,
or
also,
they just don't say anything that's that.
Well, you would think they would try to have some level of making sure who's in that seat
well,
is like.
Like a what? Six-year-old, don't coaches curse at players? Aren't they
yeah.
yelling? Like, you know what I
yeah.
mean? Like, that's a whole,
like,
separate discussion.
That's totally. On his parents, I think.
I was just like, because look, maybe on the regular they grab whoever that person in that family is, and, you know, before the game, security, like, listen, you're here, but just know, like, zero tolerance.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, but, and maybe that message is said game by game. I don't know. I've never sat there. I have no clue. But, I mean, a six-year-old's a six-year-old.
You would think, and do you think, I should say, do you think, yeah. the NBA will ever change that? Or it's too valuable. Well,
I hope
seats
not.
But you hear the players get really frustrated.
That's what I'm saying.
And a lot of nasty stuff is said to them.
Yeah,
so, anyway,
it only takes one incident.
Just struck me as just an odd part of sports that we never really talk about, but very weird last night. All right, 215-592-9494. Rick Tocchet in about 5 minutes. Let's get to Lenny and Conshohocken. Good morning, Lenny.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, buddy.
So I love that the Jalen conversation happened right after you said something that you're wrong about, and I'm glad he is here for this.
Okay.
You are dead wrong. And, like, I'd like to make a few points and then hear yours and then come back.
Sure.
So, one, the definition of elite doesn't mean you have to do it by yourself and be Superman.
Of course. That definition
is too silly. The definition of elite is essentially you doing something that majority of your peers, meaning other quarterbacks, simply cannot do. And Jalen Hurts does that in the NFL. Right now, two things both can't be true with this. On this station and across this city, everybody was saying, Nick Sirianni should be fired. He's a moron. He's a buffoon. No quarterback, no team has won a Super Bowl with having a not great quarterback and a buffoon as a coach. So one of them has to give. Don't you agree with that?
Yes.
Right. So then Nick Sirianni, now you say, is a good coach? Is that what you're saying? And Jalen is not a good quarterback?
I think Nick Sirianni is an outstanding coach. I think Nick's better at his job than Jalen is at his. I can't prove that, and I don't know it. That's just my instincts. I think Jalen's pretty good. I think, Lenny, my contention, and it's clearly been a off-season bone of contention, when a team wins the Super Bowl, not everybody, including the quarterback, not everybody's elite. Like, I would tell you this last year about Eagles players that I thought were really good, but not what I would refer to as elite. DeVonta Smith. I wouldn't call him elite. I would call A.J. elite. To me, A.J. is at a higher level than DeVonta. So is Ja'Marr Chase. So is Justin Jefferson. Like, there is a top seven wide receiver in football. I don't think DeVonta is in that.
That's fair.
I think he's in the next five or so.
Yeah, I think he's a top 15.
Counterpoint, I think DeVonta Smith is one of the most, if not the most, underrated receivers.
I love him.
If you go back and look at some of his catches last season.
I know.
It's incredible.
This is no DeVonta. Like, I can't imagine there's one Eagle fan that thinks he's better than AJ. Can we all agree with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And let's just say DeVonta's the 10th best receiver in football. He's probably around there. At some point, you can't. Not everybody's elite.
I get your
elite.
Point.
Like, yeah. Darius Slay last year, not elite. I would tell you Quinyon Mitchell, I think, was. So, you know, I put Jalen more in that, and I don't even think he's as good as DeVonta and Darius Slay. But my point is, not everybody is elite.
I think the difference here is Jalen is far more involved in their success than the other players you're talking about.
He is.
Right.
That's true.
So, to me, that's the elite.
So, Lenny, what's your counterpoint? Go ahead.
So my counterpoint is, if you're talking about the other players, right, like you name the other players, if I name Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and let's say Justin Herbert or whoever, their record against Patrick Mahomes is under 500. Jalen Hurts is 500. Jalen Hurts has been eliminated from the playoffs 2 out of 3 years, and you know 2 of the quarterbacks have eliminated him, Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. Like, we're
but Lenny, here's quick counterpoint on your first point. That Josh Allen and Cincy guy Burrow thing, they've never had the number one defense. Like, Jalen Hurts twice has had a top two defense. One time they missed number one by less than 1 yard. I mean, the 2022 Eagles had 70 sacks in a season, and the 2024 Eagles was probably one of the five best defenses this century. So when you say, like, Jalen has beaten Mahomes,
Lamar Jackson had
the
a top
team
defense.
Has beaten Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Allen, Lamar have had great defenses. And also,
Lamar
for what it's worth, the only year that Joe Burrow went to the Super Bowl, the Bengals defense was sixth. And the other counter I'd give quickly is, yes, the Eagles defense is awesome. But also, Jalen helps the defense be better by taking care of the ball.
I agree.
Not putting them in bad situations. Like, I don't think it's a coincidence when you look at great quarterbacks, they almost always have great defenses, or at least good defenses, because they play at such a high level, it makes the defense better.
Look, I agree with that, but here's the other thing I'll say, Lenny. We keep going back and forth, and this is good. This is good chatter, in my opinion. I think Jalen is more of a game manager. People hear that as a disrespect. I don't mean it as a disrespect. I think that Jalen manages the game, in part, for instance, Elliott, knowing he had a great defense last year, so you can punt the ball,
100%.
Move the ball 50 yards down the field and say, hey, I'll give my defense a shot. They'll get me the ball back. We'll go get them the next time.
Yep, agreed.
And I think that's smart football.
Can I give you 1 point before you let me go?
Sure, and I got to get to Rick talking here because he's ready to rock. But give me your quick point, and then give me your answer. What's crazy?
All right. So my quick point is he does something that no other quarterback in the NFL does right now except of Lamar Jackson, and it penalizes him for his yards. Nobody can bleed out a 7 to 10 minute drive like the Philadelphia Eagles in the fourth quarter. So yeah. Joe Burrow's chasing points all the time. Lamar's chasing points.
He's a big part of that. He is, Leonard.
So
he is.
Can't penalize him for his passing numbers when we have a lead and he can just kill a fourth quarter.
All right, Lenny, you can win the Phillies tickets. What's crazy?
Tony Gwynn strikeout total. He struck out 424 times in his 20-year career.
It's unbelievable. He's right about that.
Really
Think about that. I mean,
420, was that the number?
200 in a year. 424 in 20-year career.
Yeah. No, listen, Gwynn, I mean, they're
pretty
they're,
good.
There were guys from that era, in that era and before, Gwynn, Boggs, Carew.
Brett,
I mean,
those
Brett,
type of guys. Yeah.
I mean, just wild.
Robin Yount. Those
Robin
guys.
Yount was another great one. All right, let's talk to Rick Tocchet, Flyers' new head coach, Rick Tocchet. Of course, got the job 2 weeks ago. It's a homecoming for him. And, I mean, I'm super psyched to have Rick Tocchet as the Flyers' head coach. First time he joins us since getting the job, and what a job it is. Rick Tocchet with us here on WIP. Good morning, Rick.
How are you guys? I don't mind talking Eagles. Talking
Let's about do it. Rick, what'd you make of that? What'd you make of that Super Bowl? Well, how about that?
I mean, it was a beatdown. Like, I mean, all year, just from afar watching the Eagles, just the way they progressed, it was just like a slow, like a juggernaut. I mean, and just obviously dismantling the Chiefs, obviously.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
With Mahomes, an incredible quarterback. I didn't think it was to be that big of a blowout, but it was incredible to watch.
It was something to behold. It really was. Rick, the Philadelphia thing, I mean, talking right there about the Eagles and watching the Super Bowl a couple months ago, has that Philadelphia thing stayed with you, you know, this whole time, really, since the early 80s, mid-80s?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've been gone quite a bit. Other organizations learned a lot, as a player and a coach when you're away from this area. But coming back, it's just like, so easy coming back, right? And it brings back memories back in the day playing for the Flyers and, being friends with guys like Barkley and Schmidt and these guys, icons in the city, and the way the fans gravitate towards their sports team. There's not many cities like Philadelphia. We got a lot of work to do. I think we know that we're on the back page right now, and we got to start getting people to believe in the Flyers again. And I just want to be a part of it and a solution. And, we got a lot of work, but I'm really excited about being back in the area.
Good. Well, Rick, a lot of people are very excited to have you here. So, of course, congratulations. What have the first 2 weeks been like for you? I mean, you can't coach a game yet, but you're in there. You're getting stuff done. You're talking to dudes. What's the first couple weeks been like for you?
Well, obviously the game plan Jonesy and Danny got, Dan Hilferty, really sold me on their game plan. They got a ton of picks this draft, next year's draft, a lot of cap space next year, the year after. So there's some tools to work with. Obviously the players here, I like the winger pool a lot. I mean, I know that there's some big defense I like there. Obviously Sanheim is really, really progressive. I had him in Four Nations. When I was assistant coach for Canada, really impressed the way he played in that with those type of players. Being connecting, I mean, you're talking about the star players representing the crest, Flyers crest. So there's some tools here. And like I said, not a lot of people believe in this team for next year, obviously, because they think, the roster isn't that good. I disagree. I think there's a hardworking team. We're excited of progressing here.
Yeah, you mentioned maybe a lot of people currently don't believe in the team, but you know what it's like in this city when the Flyers are on the front page and not the back page, as you put it. You went to those Stanley Cups. You were with winning Flyers teams. I think the thing all Flyers fans feel is, like, How far away do you think this team can, or how far away is the team from getting back to what we all love, which is that Flyers hockey and back to winning?
Yeah, I think, first of all, my job is to create an identity. You know, who are the Flyers? You know, how do we play? Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, you know, tough place to play when you come play us in our building. Things like that, that back in the day the Flyers were always known for. And obviously develop players. I mean, you know, I'm putting a staff together as we speak, assistant coaches, where the players come into the rink and there's a, and I know it's the most, I hate using the word, I got to think of another word, but it's a process that we got, we have to, I know I hate it. I mean, yeah. I've been actually trying to think of a new word other than process, but, you know, where players come in and they know that with the facility we have, with the knowledge we have, and with their buy-in, they can, you know, they can have a better sense of maximizing their talent, and then obviously becoming a team. And that's my job, and that's what I'm going to be judged on. So I welcome that kind of challenge. So to answer your question, when we're, I don't know. I mean, we could be good this year. I don't know. I just think that the identity, where we're going, every day we got to work towards that.
So, Rick, here, and Rick talking with us on WIP, here's something you may or may not know as a sports fan over the last couple of years. So, Nick Sirianni in year one didn't use the word process, or at least not in a way I remember, but he used a flower analogy. And City didn't like that. Team wasn't playing very well at that moment. And he was talking about blooming. You know, essentially it takes time to bloom.
Sure.
And then he switched to year two to a mountain analogy because he realized, all right, flower doesn't work in Philly, so let's scale a mountain. So anyway, I'm just saying, you know, maybe you can figure out an analogy that works of some sort. Rick, how good do you think Mishkov can become? I mean, when he joined the big club last year, it was probably the most exciting prospect to join the big club probably since Lindros. How good can he become?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of talent there. You know, talking to Jonesy and Danny, I don't know the kid that well. I will get to know him. He loves the way Kucherov. He wants to be. That's his kind of his hero, Kucherov. If he can somehow, and the way he handles the puck, the way he can see the game. He can see the game before anybody sees the play, which is Kucherov-ish like. That's a pretty good goal to have because I think Kucherov's one of the. It could be. He is a top three player. I don't want to put pressure on the kid, but if he can somehow, and you got to remember, Kucherov, I think, had like 30 points his first year, and Mishkov here, what did he have, 60-something points his first year. So, like I said, I don't want to put pressure on him, but that's a goal, the way Kucherov plays, I think I see a little bit there with the skills, the puck skills, and his hockey brain, offensive hockey brain. So I see that kind of comparison.
You know, we know you so well as a player, and obviously you've coached in the NHL, but not here in Philadelphia. As a coach, when you try to build the Flyers, right, do you look around the league? I mean, you look at Florida, they've been to three straight Stanley Cups, they're back in it this year. As you try to build the Flyers, do you build them in, okay, this is how I want them to play, or do you look at teams around the league and say, this is who we need to beat, and here's how we beat them?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think in hockey, I love the other sports, but hockey is a little bit of a copycat league. So if you look at the Florida Panthers, you know, they've gone to the final. It'll be the third time they've gone to the finals. Obviously, so teams are looking, what are they doing? And if you look at their team, tough team to play against, they made a bold trade to get Tkachuk, was a huge trade for them. Mm-hmm. They hit on, I mean, the Zito, Bill Zito, their GM, hit on about three unreal trades, getting Bennett and Reinhardt for basically not a lot. They've hit a couple of free agents, and they had some really good, obviously Barkov draft picks, Lundell. They were big draft picks for them. I do like the way they play. I like the way that you know, they don't care who they play. They play the same way, and I think that's the important part is you know, creating that identity. So a tough team to play against, relentless pressure, and you know, and when they're on their game, their defense, and I'm big with that. I think you got to be a smoldering defense, play without the puck, protect the goalie, and then obviously when there's chances to go, you go and create. That's kind of my style. I mean, the Florida Panthers type of style. It's like I said, they're successful. It's what, like I said, 3 years in a row at the finals.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Rick, let's talk about style of coaching. So you played you know, initially here for Mike Keenan. For those on the younger side, if you don't know, I mean, Mike was – he was driving a hard bargain. So, you know, someone that I know told me that he, you know, that knows you well said your style of play doesn't necessarily – like we – I perceived you as an incredibly tough player. And I've been told by a few people that, you know, you use the term partnership in your press conference, that it's not nearly the Mike Keenan style. How would you describe your style of being the leader but also encouraging others without maybe pushing them to the nth degree to get it done?
Yeah, I believe in the partnership nowadays. I believe that you have to explain, educate players, tell them reasons why, even the way, hey, we're going to practice at this time and we're doing this and we're traveling at this time and, the day off will be here. I think you have to explain and educate this generation. I think the players appreciate that. So that's one of the things I'm going to try to do. I like to communicate. I have a little bit of a head start over guys that haven't played. I'm not saying you can't be a great coach if you never played NHL. Sure. But I've played every season. I've been on the fourth line. I've been on the first line. I've played in some pressure games. I've also sat out games, healthy scratch nearly the end of my career. So I kind of know everybody's role. So talking to certain players, there's an experience that I've been in their shoes before. But I think the honesty and the communication with the player is huge. And I think that's something I've really, really paid attention to the last bunch of years. It's helped me be a better coach. And I think picking your staff, your assistants, sometimes you have to pick a guy that might be better at something than you. You can't be afraid as a head coach to get a guy. There might be an assistant coach out there that is better at me at something, and I welcome that. So those are the sort of things I think to be a good head coach, and you have to evolve every year. You can't be the same coach every year. You got to give players fresh ideas every year. And not be afraid to listen and outside the box thinking. I think that's huge too. You can't always do the same thing. So you just try to evolve as a coach and with today's player.
One thing that strikes me listening is you really emphasized, you know, working with people, the relationships. It's no secret that the Flyers certainly have a lot of former Flyers right now in major roles, right? What do you view, because sometimes that can be viewed as a criticism, but what do you view as a positive of the fact that the people you're working with have been here, you know them, they know the city? Like, what are your early impressions of that?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be detractors. I mean, and anywhere you go, hiring an old Flyer against stuff, I understand that to a point, but the old Flyers were successful, and I'm not saying that automatically makes you know everything now, but I've been gone for 25 years or 20 years. I've been in other organizations. I've won a couple of cups with Pittsburgh as a player and assistant coach. But I've been other places, and so it's not like here's another old Flyer. And I'm proud to be an old Flyer. I'm proud to see Billy Barber and Bobby Clark around the rink yesterday and talking to them. I'm proud of those guys. They helped shape my career. As a kid, I was 19 coming over the Walt Whitman Bridge, not knowing what Philadelphia, what kind of city was. I was scared to death. And this organization helped me become a man and really helped be a family with Mr. Snyder. And I see the same thing here, with Jonesy and Danny and Dan Hilfreddy and Brian Roberts. I mean, they're it's a family kind of atmosphere. I can tell. So, I'm looking forward to the challenge. I mean, listen, when I went to Vancouver my first year, as I said, we want to meet pressure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With pressure. So there's pressure here, and we want to meet it. I mean, you can't hide from pressure. Go find it. Same thing on the ice. If the pressure's there, go find it. Don't hide. So that's what we got to do.
No question. Rick, final thing here. You know, you referenced Ed Snyder. Have you reflected in the last couple of weeks of how proud he would be of you becoming the Flyers head coach?
Yeah, sure, of course. I mean, you know, like I said, it shaped who I was. I mean, Mr. Snyder and the Flyers. And coming back here, just for the 2-3 weeks, you know, talking to the Danny and Dan Helferty and Joseph, I keep saying those guys because it's what they want to create here is something special, and it reminds me of back in the day. And obviously they want to do their own thing, but there is that family, you know, atmosphere, and I think the players feed off that stuff. So, yeah, I think he'd be proud, and, you know, like I wish I was here to thank him for you know, what he's done for me.
Yeah. Well, Rick, we wish you obviously the absolute best of luck. Town's behind you. I will say, obviously, the town has been incredibly frustrated, you know, in recent years because it's been a long time.
Sure.
Been a long time. But people are, you know, certainly very excited and hopeful for better days. And we wish you the absolute best of luck and look forward to talking to you from time to time. Good luck in the preparation for the season. And we'll talk to you when it gets closer. Thank you, Rick. Stay well and good luck, bud.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for the support.
Yep, thank you.
You got it. There he is, the head coach of the Flyers, Rick Tocchet. Good stuff right there. All right. So, look, I mean, he sounds dialed in, man.
Yeah.
Dialed in. Right, James, your impressions. What do you make?
I loved it. Like, again, we'll see what happens with the Flyers, but I think he has the right mentality. He sounded fine. Even when I answered the phone, like, off the air, I was like, hey, Rick, you know, gonna have me a W. He's like, awesome, man. Really excited to go. You know, thanks for, like, he was pumped to even talk, you know.
Good.
So I thought that was a really good interview.
One thing about the hire is it does get them more attention than if it was a nondescript guy. You know, I mean, it's just,
sure.
That's a fact. It creates more buzz. And I think they're wise to, you know, generate that buzz. And ultimately, you want to find the right person. That matters most. Look, I love Tocchet as a player. I'm very hopeful for him as the coach here of the Flyers. I think we all know the main thing is not who the coach is. It's who the players are. I mean, it just is. Mm-hmm. They need better players, period. They need better players. I'm on one hand, there's nowhere to go but up. But on the other hand, you can say for the last 10 years, there's been nowhere to go but up. And they've, other than 2020, they stayed in the same spot for 10 years.
Yeah, what really struck me about him is, and, you know, I get to see Nick up close at the NovaCare, how he builds a culture. I was really impressed and I think encouraged by how he talked about the family part.
Sirianni or Tocchet?
Well, Tocchet right there, because it reminded me of Sirianni.
It reminded me of Sirianni.
Yeah. Like,
I thought the same thing.
And I thought his answer about the former Flyers kind of building a family environment, like, we can all hate the former Flyer thing. That's the best explanation I've ever heard of it. So we'll see if, you know, I get it, the players, the coaching style, the X's and O's, all that. To me, he sounded like somebody that can build a winning environment with the Flyers.
Well,
I have great players, but I was impressed.
One other thing that I thought was really good is when he said that, when you asked him a question about what type of coach he was, did you notice he said nowadays when he talked about it?
Yes.
That shows me someone who's willing to adapt and change and get with the times and what works now. I thought that was impressive.
So I'll bring it back to Sirianni, James, one more time on that point. To me, one of the things that impresses me the most about Sirianni is I think he's a blend of old school and new school. I think he's old school in that there's accountability. There is accountability.
And toughness.
I mean, like Devin White didn't get the job last year just because he was Devin White.
Which is ironic because he had a text thread called accountability.
No, anyway. and Bryce,
all-time backfire
right,
and
Bryce Huff didn't get the job just because he was $50 million guy. Like he was on the team, but he wasn't playing. So accountability is a big part of Sirianni, but so too is the newfangled stuff, connectivity, all that stuff, you know, like, and I would recommend a lot of coaches emulate what Sirianni does. I think he's blended it really well. Let's get your reaction to that. Obviously, the Phils went in 2-3 against the Braves. They lose the last one there yesterday. It was a series that had a little bit of everything. We'll remind you of the Twitter poll question of the day, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Let your journey begin in the completely redesigned 2025 Equinox from Armin Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Poll question, do you think Zach Wheeler was retaliating when he hit Nick Allen yesterday, yes or no? You know, the thing I'll say, the guy in recent years that really disappointed me the most as a Philadelphia coach, like by far, was Girardi.
Same,
I thought,
Joe.
Like,
same,
right?
Same, dude.
Because Girardi was wired as a player the way Rick Tocchet was wired as a player. Tough.
So
and was known for blending the new school stuff And I mean, James, I just thought he was lame.
He was so lame. He was soft. And honestly, it felt like he just didn't even care half the time. Like, well, it felt like in his postgame, probably like, well, you know.
He was a huge disappointment.
Honestly, Joe, I'm with you. Honestly, probably the single biggest disappointing coaching hire of my lifetime. Like, Chip Kelly, in a way, because we were all in on Chip. Yeah. But Girardi just wasn't what I expect him to be in any way, shape, or form.
And what you just said right there about the Girardi not caring, I 100% agree. He was not invested. I think what came across there too, Rick Tocchet, at the very least, super cares.
Totally.
And I think that's an underrated Nick Sirianni quality, is that Nick, like, eats, sleeps, and breathes football, just like Jalen. And when Joe Girardi was here, I don't think he really cared if the Phillies won. Rick Tocchet came across as someone that really, really wants the Flyers to win, and I think that matters.
All right, your reaction on all this. Let's talk to Drew in Westchester. How you been, Drew?
Joe, good to talk to you. I'm going. Morning, folks. I'm going a little back here. You weren't working at this point, but I called in during the Birds town hall, and I was told people were clapping for me. Now, do you
love
think
it.
They were clapping because of beat the hammer prowess, or you know, do you think that could have played a part there?
I just think people love you, Drew. You're a lovable, smart guy.
I do think that people love that you beat the hammer. Yes, without a doubt.
Thank you, Elliot. I appreciate it.
You get that out of your system? We done with the nonsense?
Man, Joe just can't handle this right now.
Take like looking down. Like, I like this. It's good.
I mean, Joe, I don't get to talk to you that often.
No, I'm playing around. It's always good to hear from you.
I had to get equipped, man. With the Phillies, they're obviously having a better season than I think we expected. I just think, you know, this bullpen to me just still kind of feels like an elephant, like boogeyman in the room a little bit. Like, they were a couple feet away from being swept out of that doubleheader yesterday, if that's a home run in the first game. Like, I looked at it this morning, like Strom, Kirkering, Romano, like they're all pacing to go over their like career high in innings. So I don't think they need one guy. Like, I think Dombrowski has to go out and get two or three guys. So I don't know. That's still just a big concern of mine.
Well, I'll say it, Drew. Look, I agree with you. It's a concern. It's not as big a concern for me as others, because I am still convinced they'll slide at least one, if not two, starters into the bullpen in October. So I see that through a different prism. Now, what's come up today on the show, and I think it's a smart point that's been brought up by a couple callers, is you don't want to burn out your best relievers before you get to the playoffs. And they do run a risk, if they keep going to these three guys over and over and over again, of doing that. I will tell you, I am convinced that they burned out Craig Kimbrel in 23. I mean, that guy was an all-star. I mean, he was outstanding. Now, you can make the case he was getting near the end of his career, and maybe it was inevitable, maybe. Or maybe they just overcooked him in June, July, August, and September, and he didn't have anything left in October. And so, you know, we as a fan base may need to know that until they make a trade, or unless they make a trade, we may have to accept, you know, a lesser in the eighth inning sometimes, and you're going to lose that game from time to time to preserve the three main guys. Because you can't cook them. I mean, I'd rather they lose I'd rather they lose four extra games than cook their three main relievers.
Yeah, I agree there. I mean, it better be until with a trade and not unless.
They did make a move yesterday for a guy that they immediately shipped to the minor leagues. James, what do we know about this guy?
He's a career minor leaguer. He's a 30-year-old, has only been, you know, made it to the majors a few times. He's got like a 6.5 career RA.
So it's a flyer.
And not a great flyer.
Sounds exciting.
Okay. But I'll say this. It sounds like they're at least trying, and I'm not saying give them credit or don't. I'm just saying it sounds like they are trying to do something to maybe see if that guy can pitch well enough to get up here. I mean, I guess, because they traded him for cash. So they traded him for nothing, essentially.
Yeah. But it doesn't sound like it's a great
No,
flyer.
It doesn't sound like he's a solution. Drew,
give me a Rick Tocchet flyer.
Give me an answer for what's crazy, Drew.
I feel like we'll probably never see this again with the DH rule. How about when career 100 hitter Joe Blanton came up in the World Series blasted a home run for the Phillies?
So that's a good answer. All right, let me ask you guys a question. I saw last night, somewhere on social media, top five home runs by the Phillies this century.
Ooh.
All right, now hold on. Let me.
It's not by length. You're saying like
yeah,
not
by length.
Just like okay, yeah. Moment.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So because the Blanton homer was not one of the five. Now let me write them down. Matter of fact, let me write them down. I got to do this off my head, but I'll get them. Let me get it. We'll find out if you guys can come up with the right answer.
No cheating.
And we'll see.
No
we'll, top five. Now, this is some random guy on social media. I don't know who it was, but top five that this guy determined, and we'll get that and see if people get it right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.